was all a dream. I used to read Wizard magazine, Marvel versus DC. I don't wanna fight no more, y'all. Check this out right here.
Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 503. Man, we have such a long way to go until another anniversary number.
You go 550.
Yeah.
Well, 25. Yeah. Not normally 25, 30, 25.
Just after 500 was so, you know, monumental.
Well, you can have, you know, Lord Retail come back at any time.
He can. I thought about having him today because I have some stuff to talk about. That'd be good to have a secondary person. But I'll forge ahead alone, and he can text me his rebuttals.
Just don't get the facts wrong, and you'll be okay. I'm just saying.
So, I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Spencer.
Pat.
Mike.
Dave.
It's like you didn't know what to do.
Well,
you
wasn't sure.
We didn't know which way you were going.
We always go that way.
Oh, we do?
Yeah.
Except for when we go the other way.
Yeah. What?
Well, so Dave was getting ready to look like he was getting ready to speak, so I didn't want to...
I started. You guys do what you want.
Sorry, Spencer.
So, I don't know about any news. I don't remember any news.
I didn't see any news.
Okay. Yeah, I can't think of anything special. We did get a couple questions. We'll start there.
Nice.
Okay, Zach asks, because I'll likely forget or miss when you ask for questions, how have the sales been for Green Lantern? Do you think them getting better or worse, giving the shakeup to the status quo of Green Lantern 12? They've not been good. Yeah, this was the last, I'm guessing. But they have not been good. I looked and I ordered 10 of the main cover and 2 of the variant for this, which is a good bit down from where Green Lantern used to be.
I didn't know there was a Green Lantern book going on.
Yeah, well, part of the problem wow. with it is that you had Green Lantern, and then it's split into Green Lanterns and Hal Jordan. Hal Jordan being a criminal on the run. Okay, that's kind of hard to fill, you know, excitement. You know, you want him being a hero, not whatever. Then it ended and we got the Grant Morrison, well, I want to say 2-year project. I think it went longer than 2 years, but it was 22, 12-issue seasons of it that was very polarizing, and a lot of people dropped.
And well, there was some stuff after the, like, the Outlaw, when, like, during the Rebirth stuff. Mm-hmm. That stuff was really good.
Okay.
Venditti was doing.
It just didn't hold.
Yeah, I don't know how it did sales-wise, but I know, like, story-wise and stuff, it was really good. And then there was the Grant Morrison stuff.
And then after Grant Morrison, they come out with a new series by a writer who starts off saying he hates Hal Jordan. And introduces on the cover of issue 1, here comes Teen Lantern. And it's like, enough. And, you know, I read the first one and went, well, that's enough for me. And, yeah, I'm down to 10 copies of Green Lantern, which is really low.
Is it still the Teen Lantern?
Well, she's just one of many.
Well, that's the thing. She's been in a coma for most of the series.
She's been what?
In a coma.
Oh, okay.
And like that's another thing where it's like it's 2 Green Lantern books in one. Like the first half of the book will be focused in on one set of characters, on Stewart, and then the other one focused on that Far Sector Green Lantern and Baz and the Teen Lantern when she was awake and stuff like that.
What they need is a Green Lantern. Green Arrow, Aquaman crossover.
Ooh.
Why do we have to
I like
Aquaman?
Green Lantern, Green Arrow. I don't know if we need to throw Aquaman in it. No, they don't.
I could spin out of the series you're reading.
The only problem with that is I wouldn't know which character was which.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a problem. They always look so alike.
Because everybody knows Green Lantern is also blonde with a beard. So it just gets very confusing.
We'll use Simon Baz. That'll clear everything
okay.
up.
But
Kilowog.
So will this change matter? And like I said to Zach online, it says it's going to depend on how much they push it. Because of my customers, that means 12 people, if they all read the book, are going to know what's happening. Nobody else is going to know what's going on. And if anything, you know, I haven't read it, so I don't know exactly what's going on. But you know, they're going to have to rehab that title, because right now for me it's dead.
Well, like I said, I'm pretty sure this is the last issue, because I haven't seen it in the preview books for the past couple issues, and well, you figure what, there was like a 2 or 3 Green Lantern books in that Round Robin thing. As soon as it seemed like they were trying to push that a little bit, like, hey, do a Green Lantern book, pick a Green Lantern book.
Okay, and then Lord Retail asks, for each participant, that's you guys.
I'm a participant.
How often do you go backwards and read something from before you were into comics, or is comics a perpetual march forward only?
Well, I've been into comics since I was like 5.
Yeah, there are no comics. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Those are just the expensive ones.
Yeah.
I go back and read very rarely older stuff, just because I don't have the time.
That's what I was going to say. It all depends on time. I'm having enough trouble keeping up with current things. Yeah. There's a whole bunch of old stuff that I would love to go back to read that I just haven't got a chance to.
Like, I have all the trades of George Perez, Wolfman, Teen Titans, I think like 1 through 7 or 8, and they're just sitting there.
Okay.
And I'm going, I'm going
to
read these.
Yeah, I had a damaged copy of #1 come in that I took home to reread. Because that was one of the first things I was collecting.
Yeah. And it just sits there.
Yeah. And then also for me, funny, just funny for today, a guy sold me back some trades. In it was a beat-up copy of the Showcase Doom Patrol Volume 1. I'm like, you know, that's something I should throw in the car. So for whenever I'm stuck somewhere with nothing to do, you know,
read Doom Patrol.
I can sit and read those old 60s Doom Patrols, which was it. I had one of those Blue Ribbon Digests that I picked up going to Grandma's or something and read that and was blown away, you know, 9-year-old me. What is this? You know, so it did have a formative effect on my career. So yeah, generally not though, but there isn't a ton of stuff. I mean, I started reading in late 70s, so.
Yeah, because it's not like Superman and Batman date back to the 30s. You know?
They do, but there's not a lot of stuff in print, like collections and stuff of that stuff. So.
During the pandemic, I went back and read all of Brubaker's Captain America and some other stuff because I had the time. So it's not necessarily that I don't want to go back and read it. It's just.
Yeah,
you as a collection or as individual issues?
I had individual issues.
Yeah.
That I'd gotten probably at a basement sale or something like that.
I have some Marvel Essentials, so I was rereading Giant Size X-Men #1 in an X-Men Essential, which was before my time before I got into that. But yeah, it's a time thing. Like to do more, but it's.
He's busy. Reading the news.
Yeah, I know.
Mine usually goes sleep or read. You try to read and then you fall asleep. So it's just.
Oh, you're right. Yep. I mean.
I just laugh because I have a book on the nightstand. It's like, here's a paragraph. Yeah. So that's what happens when you get old, Spencer.
And plus, a lot of your older issues have value.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I'm not popping those open.
That's why you come here and you buy the trades.
I usually do.
Okay. So, my Colin's commentary. Ooh, new segment. Oh, no. Marvel paper is still crap, and I'm really annoyed at this point because they said, and somebody did screenshot it, that it was a 1-week thing and maybe a couple extras the next week. And we're still getting that paper. And now the difference is that first week, it was like a rough paper, like tissue paper.
Mm-hmm.
And the last few weeks, it's been smooth paper. And I'm like, are they just playing a game of semantics saying, oh, that's not the same paper? But Marvel Comics feel like crap right now.
It is the
They're
same paper.
Thin and flimsy. But it's not the same as that they said was a mistake, which was, it was almost a little rough.
Like newsprint?
Not it more like the paper you put into the top of a gift bag. That's literally what
just
it felt like.
Paper, yeah.
Yeah. But it had a little bit of a rough texture to it. But now it's all smooth, but it's It's funny, not funny for them, but they did a 1 in 1,000 variant on their Free Comic Book Day book to get, you know, orders up. Well, people got those this week, and they said basically they're crap. There's, you know, at best an 8.0, they're wavy and stuff. And they're like, so me ordering all these books, I can't offset it by selling this, you know, 1 in 1,000 because nobody's going to want it. So it's like, I'm wondering, are they going to start, you know, I'm sure orders are going to go down. There's no reason to stretch for a 1 in 50 if you don't know if it's going to be sellable.
But they're also probably hoping that nobody notices. And a lot of people won't notice.
A lot of customers won't, but this, we'll notice enough. They're like Spider-Punk people put back on the shelf. They I watch them pick it up at the front counter and go, oh, and put it down. It felt wrong.
Yeah, it's like it's too flimsy.
And especially when you have companies like Aftershock, DC even, that's still, you know, I know Pat was upset how little the story Batman was, but that was still a thick book.
No, it was. Yeah. It was.
So, this is a little bit of a tangent. I did read Shadow War Alpha. I'll cross that off because we already talked about it last week. But I found it was talking about Event Leviathan. And Leviathan had taken over and stuff. And I went,
that was like,
wow,
3 years ago, I think?
Maybe longer.
It wasn't, though. It didn't end that long ago. But the problem, I'm like, why would you reference something, I don't want to say nobody's read, but not a lot of people finished. And I said, that's like referencing Sonic Disruptors. It's like, that's a book that never finished. But I decided to look it up. I did preparation.
Man.
Wow.
He has notes.
I have notes. So I decided to look out, and people were very excited about Event Leviathan.
Yeah, because that was one of his, like, Bendis' first things when he came over, right?
So it was, I sold 73 copies of number one. Then dropped down to 50 and stayed in the 50s through issue 6.
What year was this?
That was a couple, 2019 maybe?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, something like that.
Then you had Leviathan Dawn. And at the end of 6, it revealed that it was a Manhunter that nobody remembered. And I think that really hurt interest. So then I only sold 33 copies of Leviathan Dawn. Then you had the Checkmate series come, and there was a Manhunter book that got canceled and never actually came out. Checkmate came out. I sold 26 of the first one, and then it went down to 14 of the last issue. So this is a series that basically started out at 73 and finished at 14.
This is a Bendis Checkmate?
That's the Bendis.
Didn't he just do another Checkmate?
No, that was
it.
It just ended, but it took a long time for this to come out.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was like a continuation.
And so I'm like, so you're referencing something that, for me, only 14 people read, if they read it. And I'm like, just that's not, you know, so I don't know what happened at the end of Leviathan and stuff. So I just found that a really odd thing. And then my other problem is that you had Infinity Frontier. Started off gangbusters. The Zero issue that came out, everybody was really excited about. This was last Free Comic Book Day or right around then. Sold 78 copies of number one. Wow. By the end, I was at 26. So when they're talking about all this stuff, you know, like they were wondering, you know, why didn't I order more Justice League Incarnate? I'm like, because nobody read Infinite Frontier. You know, it wasn't enough of a thing to move the needle. So I just wanted to, that's what I thought. But when I read that Shadow War, I was just like, That's a weird thing to reference a book in a storyline that you guys kind of lost.
Was it an editorial reference? Or was it
no, it was a story reference.
It was a story reference.
Yeah, because apparently Talia took over Leviathan or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so that's playing into the Shadow War story. I'm like, oh, I had no idea. All I knew it was some random Manhunter and I lost interest and didn't read beyond issue 6 in the big reveal.
Oh,
so. Yeah. But that's all I have for a rant, but I found it really weird to, you know, reference something that not a lot of people really cared about.
Or remembered.
Yeah. So, I don't have anything else to... That's all our questions.
That really wasn't very much of a rant.
It wasn't a rant, it was a discussion.
He simmers down in his old age, he can't...
Yeah, I can't get all fired up. There's been some stuff going on a retailer board that's just that's been the last couple days sucking all my attention, which is just so stupid. But because it's on a board, I can't talk about it. But it's just stupid.
We'll have to kill you.
Pettiness and pissiness. And
that's the world we live in.
I know.
I know. And one of the people made a comment. I'm like, oh, I can tell which way you lean. Okay. But, Pat, tell us about the two books you read, sir.
Three books you read. Two and a half.
Wow. Maybe we can finish the half for you.
No. I read the whole thing, but it was only half a book. We'll start with the half a book. Batman.
Yeah.
It was kind of half a book. You were right. So, I did, but like I said, I did go back and I did count. It was 22 pages, and I found it really weird. There were no ads in that first half. So
That's fine. It's the second part of Shadow War. I did like the title. I'm tired of all these effing ninjas.
Yeah. There was a lot of ninjas.
Yeah, there was a lot of ninjas.
My one problem with this is now it's going into Deathstroke or Robin, which
had
much lower order numbers. And I didn't bump because, no offense, they've had too many of these going on. We just had the World War III Suicide Squad thing. Mm-hmm. We have the Wonder Woman one.
Shadow of the Bat.
Well, but with these don't sell the same.
Yeah.
You know, Deathstroke I sell 8 copies of, Batman I sell 85 copies of. I'm not ordering the same number of Deathstroke as I did of Batman. So, and I didn't even bump it a little. I was like, F it. Screw them. And they didn't promote any of this stuff. You know, it's just like...
Well, that's the thing. Like, when I first read it, I wasn't expecting very much. But I really liked the first issue. Yep. And I'm like, well, shit. Now I kind of wish I did, you know, say, hey, bump me up another Deathstroke, because the other one that's in is Robin, and I already get Robin, so I'm not worried about that. But Batman goes and finds Talia, and, you know, she's hurt, but she doesn't trust the doctors or the Lazarus Pit, and she's mad when she finds out Robin went off on his own to go find Deathstroke. But he didn't actually go to find Deathstroke yet. First, he found Ravager. And he kind of starts monologuing, and she just... Let me stop you right there. Let's just go kill my dad.
Yeah, it doesn't take much for her to jump on board.
There was something in Shadow War that I found interesting, where he had, like, a flashback talking to his mom. Ra's al Ghul did. Mm-hmm. And it was something like, you know, these things, the pits will kill you, or there was something wrong with the pits.
Yeah.
I found that interesting.
They've been talking about that, like, in the Robin book a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. If I'm paying $4.99 for a book, I want the whole story, not a half a book. It's just
kind of... You got that big, long story in the back.
You mean the 4-page preview to Flashpoint?
No, there was something else in the back. I don't remember.
There was, that was like, I think, 15 pages or something like that. Because then it had
just for an extra dollar?
Yeah, but I got half the other stories.
You didn't. You got all the pages you were supposed to.
Uh-huh. Okay, you keep telling yourself that.
I counted the pages.
Count what you want. Normal comics, 32 pages.
No.
So I'm short
22 pages plus ads.
Okay. Feels like it's
that's more. Why I noticed there were no ads.
It feels like it's more. It may be because there was no ads, it felt like it was half a book.
Yeah, I hear you.
You know, when it ends on the staple, you're like,
I hear you.
Shit, now I feel cheated.
Whoa. It ended on the staple? The spine? The mid-spine?
Yeah.
Wow. That's not even halfway. It finished it halfway.
Yeah, but I'm not counting the page.
I'm just saying.
I counted story
and
pages.
And they charged you
$4.99. Well, right. Then there's a backup story.
Right, but altogether it was like a 40-page issue.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't like blank pages for the other half.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh.
Make your own comic.
Exactly. That would have been really messed up.
I thought
up.
It was like all filler at make the end. Oh, okay.
Well, part of it was.
Well, it was like a... like an early Batman and Robin with like... He has Robin running around to, because there's a hit out on him, and he's using him as bait, so Deathstroke will, you know, try to assassinate him, and they have a fight, and Deathstroke pulls off his mask, and he's on Joker event gas, right? That's what it kind of made it
seem.
I didn't read it.
Backup, yeah.
I told you, I didn't read anything until I got here, so.
Yeah.
A little short.
I forgot you said half of...
Well, I'll talk about the Batman book I did read all the way through, and that was Batman Beyond the White Knight.
I read that. That was really good.
It was. You had I guess it takes place like 15 years after the end of the last White Knight book.
Well, yeah, however old the kids are.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting. And they look to be about 15, 16. They Bryce specifically said they're still in school, so I'm guessing 15, 16. So it starts off with Terry McGinnis stealing the Batman Beyond suit. You know it's Terry McGinnis because he's called Terry, but other than that, there's really no clues. And then we find out, like, it cuts to Bruce in jail. There's another riot, and Jason Todd's taken hostage by the Sons of Azrael. We're like a gang inside the prison, and Bruce saves them. This is like the first time that Jason Todd has talked to Bruce in the whole time he's been in prison, even though he was specifically transferred to the prison. That was the only way Bruce was going to go.
And Bruce was kind of like begging for his life, too, because the Azrael group kind of like owed him a favor.
Right, because he had saved Azrael. It was a life for a life thing.
Okay.
So it the book cuts to the GTO is basically an army at this point. Malcolm Powers, who was running the automotive part of Wayne Enterprises, is now running all of Wayne Enterprises, and it's called Wayne Powers, which is what it is in Batman Beyond. But the GTO is basically now wearing armored Batman costumes. It cuts to Harley Quinn and her kids. Bryce is kind of the good kid, if you will, where Jackie is wearing a blood-soaked Batman shirt that she said came from her dad, which Harley's like, that's not your dad, that's the Joker, they're different people, and slaps her, and, you know, kind of. Then when she goes up to apologize, finds out that she somehow got classified information from the GTO and knows all about the history of the Joker and Harley. Batman breaks out of prison, because of course he does.
Well, he probably could have done it the whole time, I'd imagine. He just
because now that the powers are, he basically stole the Wayne Foundation. He enriched himself and is militarizing the GTO. He's like, I got to break out to stop this. Plus, now he finds out about the Batman Beyond suit. But he breaks out, and there's a new Joker. We don't know who it is. Like, it looks like the Joker, who's supposed to be dead. I would have called Bryce, and I still think it might be him, but we don't know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it wouldn't seem that odd that the Joker's kid would have multiple personalities.
But was he old enough to be in that?
That is possible.
Okay.
I don't know. It's possible.
Is this like another like 8, 9? Like how long is this one?
I don't know. Is this 6 or is this?
I don't remember.
Because I thought they normally were, the other ones were around like 8, like the main ones.
Yeah. And it also references an upcoming one about the Red Hood.
Mm-hmm.
So
I was gonna say, I was just gonna trade weight this one. I was gonna say this would have to be, I would think this would have to be the last one, unless if they go back into the, you know, the past or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, or they could do.
I mean,
they could do Batman Beyond.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he seems to pick you know, a miniseries is kind of like a certain kind of air. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Kind of.
Yeah, no, because he did Nightfall, and so now he's doing that. No, and you know, who knows? I'm sure they throw enough money at him, he'll figure out another story.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I'm sure they could do a whole bunch of, like, the Harley Quinns, like, you know, where they have, like, You know, you could have a Nightwing miniseries, what he's doing in this universe, and so, you know, different stuff like that.
Yeah. Now, the big difference between this and the regular Batman Beyond is the age difference. Because in Batman Beyond, Bruce is like 90.
Yeah.
Where with this, he's his 50s, probably.
Maybe early 60s.
Yeah, maybe early 60s. So they set it a lot earlier, probably to have them either fight at some point and then team up or something like that. And the last one I read was The Joneses.
That was good.
Did you read this, Dave?
I read that, yeah.
Okay. So when I looked at the cover, I thought Fantastic Four. Then I read it. It's the Fantastic Four. It's the, yeah, the AWA version of that. The family, and it's a family of four. Boy, you know, little boy, probably 12 years old. It looks like about a 15, 16-year-old girl, mom and dad. And they're all reborns, so they all have powers.
That's because they were kind of like referencing sort of COVID.
There
was a great, the great sickness.
Yeah, that goes back to their original book.
Yeah.
That was the original, what was it, The Resistance?
Yeah.
I think it was the first book. That was the event that set the whole universe in motion.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because they had their shared universe, and then they had these other books that don't really
involve it. Yeah, they're just like published.
So did they call
them
reborns in the other universe?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, they did. But I don't think they called them that in The Resistance. I think they did in Moths and in Telepaths.
Okay.
Maybe in the second reboot. The second
Uprising.
Yeah, maybe they might have.
So you have this family, and of course they're all powered. As what would happen in real life, people are afraid of them and doing everything they can to kind of keep them in hiding. And the family is trying to not be noticed. But the dad and the sister are kind of using their powers. The sister is like a speedster. I think the dad can like almost turn himself into, it's not the thing, but basically turn himself into the thing, but he can turn himself on and off. The little kid can teleport, and I'm not sure what mom can do. It looks like she has electricity or something.
Electricity or some kind of energy power, large quantities of energy that she's slowly losing control of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like they were at like, I guess it was like a PTA meeting, and she started losing control, and then she's like telling the son, you need to use your powers to get me out of here. And he's like, you told me not to use my powers. You're arguing with me when I tell you not to, and I'm telling you to use them now, just do it. And he teleports her out.
Yeah. And then the next day, and this is where the book ends, the lady who's like the head Karen of the PTA knocks on her door and is like, hey, there are more of these people, so we're starting this community watch group. It's kind of a see something, say something kind of thing. Are you with us? And the implication being you're either with us or you're against us.
So who's the artist on this one?
I don't know.
It's not the...
Alessandro Vitti?
Yeah, it wasn't Diodato. So
Diodato did cover, yeah.
No, I was just going to ask, what celebrities did he use?
You'd have to look at it.
The cover looks very photorealistic, whereas the inside art does not.
Yeah.
I liked it.
I did too.
It was a lot of fun.
Good. No, but that's just with Diodato now. That's just kind of like a fun game to like, who is he
casting?
Yeah.
If Diodato got to cast a Fantastic Four movie, who would he have picked?
Ed Harris would have been in there somewhere.
Who?
Ed Harris. He seems to like to use him in a lot of stuff.
I think he would have been the Doctor Doom character.
Yeah.
So, that's what I read.
Mike. I read Little Monsters 2.
Yeah, I read that.
I guess it's into the future, like post-apocalyptic kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this group of young kids that are vampires. And they haven't really fed in a while on humans. And the one little vampire who, like, kind of, like, got lost, found a human and fed. And that was like, their eyes lit up.
I don't think, he came back and he says, well, he says, I never knew. So I don't think they know they're vampires. They don't know they're supposed to feed on humans.
How are they sustaining themselves at this point? Did they really go into it? I don't remember.
They were hunting something in the first one, like rats or something.
Yeah, oh, was it? Yeah, oh, was yeah, it animals? Rat, okay, yeah. But I really like the artwork. It's primarily like black and white line art with some red in it, running for the blood and stuff.
Yeah, he does a great job with his watercolors.
Yeah. So, I'm interested to see where it's going. I'm just like, hopefully it's not another vampire, typical vampire, and it doesn't seem like it's going to be.
Well, it's Lemire. Yeah,
it's Lemire, so I'm sure he'll go into it a little bit more.
Yeah, like I said, I don't think it is already, because I don't think they know they're vampires.
Yeah. You could be right,
which is a cool twist on this. Yeah.
Even though they all have fangs.
Yeah.
They don't know
they're supposed to feed on humans.
Yeah, that is true, yeah.
And he was like...
And they were like in disbelief.
Yeah.
Like if you're saying like what you're... Because like I haven't read it, but if it's like what you're saying, if it's post-apocalyptic and whatever wiped out most of the humans, but it also wiped out most of like the older vampires.
Yeah.
You know, these kids or whatever.
Are there adults in this world?
You think that first part was a flashback?
I think it might have been.
The first part was a flashback to the little girl Romy. She's tending to her sick father, and she comes back after cutting firewood and finds a vampire, takes a bite out of her.
Yeah,
out of her father, and the vampire tells her, "You never have to be alone again."
Yeah.
So he obviously, I'm thinking he bit her.
The other cool thing, this is just an off topic, is like at the end of the book, it's all Lemire's horror stuff coming down. It's coming out this year.
Yeah.
There's like three or four new ones.
Yeah, all that.
Yeah. It's like
Bone Orchard.
Yeah. Now, is that a ongoing or is it a mini?
Knowing him, probably a mini.
I'm thinking just a mini, but it's not marked.
The other one is One Star Squadron number 5 by Mark Russell.
Yeah.
It was really good. So the building's burned down, and they start questioning everybody.
Kind of like
who did it. And the main suspects are Power Girl, because she's got a vendetta, because she was the one that was fired. And then they start looking at Red Tornado, because, well, wasn't he like the last one there? In the building, I think.
I know he went back there to see it burn down, so he was the only one there.
So it shows that Power Girl actually really does care. She actually saved the people from, was it like a burning building or something?
Right, Tim.
Yeah. Tim.
Right.
And then you get a little more into it, and then Red Tornado's wife is like, why are you so upset? I don't know if I can tell you. And then he eventually tells her. So he helps... What's the guy's name? I can't remember the guy's name.
Minuteman.
And lo and behold, I know I'm skipping something. We find out who's behind everything.
Yeah.
It's Lex Luthor. And he then gives
him... The Minuteman burned it down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what... And you talked... I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
About who was in...
He killed the one guy.
Yep. Caveman.
And he's like, no, he can't. What are you talking about? I made sure the building was empty. And we're like, no, the building wasn't empty. He went back to sleep there. And he's the one that ended up dying. And it was like, that was a complete twist.
Yeah.
Did not see him coming.
Red Tornado just gives him money.
Was it 50,000 or something? Like, restart your life, kind of go away kind of thing? Yeah. Like, where did he get $50,000, though?
He got it out of the safe. He went into the safe.
Yeah. Whose safe was it?
That was at the store.
The store? Okay.
Here's for you.
All right. So, I think there's, one more issue?
Yeah.
I'm really interested to see where this is going. This has been...
Yeah, it's really...
Really good. Really interesting. Another good book by Mark Russell.
Oh, yeah.
And that's all I have.
Dave.
Devil's Reign.
I read that.
Number 6.
I read that, too.
Final issue.
Fibber. Big Fibber.
You want to take everything.
I'm not taking them all.
Final Face-Off. between Daredevil and the Kingpin, and the Kingpin has killed Mike Murdock, thinking he was Matt Murdock.
Correct.
And Daredevil, Matt gets word of this and is enraged and is ready to go after the Kingpin and kill him. And has
very close.
And he's talked down by Elektra from crossing that bridge.
Yeah. And he hits him with his cane, smashing his little crystal.
The purple crystal.
Yeah, getting him to lose his powers.
Yeah.
And then Purple Man shows up and is really controlling things. How did they take him down? Did the kid take him down?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's okay. one of the purple children, Joseph, still has his powers. Yeah. And he helped Luke Cage, you know, resist the Purple Man. So at the end here, let's see. Before the end, Kingpin is arrested. And that means that Luke Cage has a clear path to be mayor.
Yeah. Of New York City. Is he arrested for murder?
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't matter though.
Yeah.
Dun dun dun.
But His son Butch gets
one of the cops.
Gets him out.
And takes him to that awful, the twin or brother and sister.
Yeah, I forget what was the name of the crime family. Yeah. But they want Kingpin to be their puppet and run for
president
of the United States. And he doesn't want any part of that.
No, and he
annihilates them.
Yeah, he annihilates them. And then gives Butch the title Kingpin.
Yeah.
And he goes off on a boat with
Typhoid Mary.
Yeah.
And sails away.
Yes. But Daredevil and Elektra have a plan too.
To team up and fight crime together.
They're gonna become what, the Fist?
Yeah.
And set up the Fist to fight the Hand.
No, they
couldn't be the Foot, because that would have been weird. So
why not the Elbow?
But I guess now we get there's a Omega, which is going to set things up for the next Daredevil arc that begins with a new number one with the same creative team.
I liked 1 through 5. 6 was a little lackluster. It was kind of like you knew Murdock was not going to kill Kingpin. You knew Elektra was going to somehow intervene, but I did not see the twist of Kingpin getting murdered or arrested and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I pretty much agree with you there. Yeah. Fantastic Four.
I heard that, Dave.
42. Continuing the Reckoning War storyline. Let's see. This is the Badoon, the alien race. They've invaded the Baxter Building. And one of the Reckoning wants to get his hands on the Forever Gate. And Alicia and the kids, her kids, and Franklin Valeri are in the Baxter Building, and they call Reed, who they're out in space. Reed, Ben, She-Hulk, Jack of Hearts are out in space.
What is the Jack of Hearts' powers? Like, what's his gimmick?
It's like kind of like his energy bursts that come out of his hands.
Because they showed him, because in the last issue, Ben gets cut open. And so it shows him like he's like kind of trying to weld him or meld the rocks back together.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but like I know because like whenever I first started in the comics was around the disbanded, you know, the Avengers disbanded, and he got murdered. So he was never really around whenever I was reading it. I just know he looked like a playing card. I didn't know what his actual, you know, his actual powers
were. I'm looking at him right over your shoulders, Spencer, but he's not using his powers.
Yeah, like, what's he do?
He's primarily, like, energy that comes out of his hands.
Yeah.
So why does he have to look like a playing card?
To be cool. Don't you want to be a playing card superhero?
Not the Jack. That's, like, the worst of the best cards.
Nobody told him that.
Yeah, he's able to get She-Hulk with it somehow, it seems.
Oh, God.
But, so
who wears the pants in that?
So Reed tells them to initiate Protocol Zero, which apparently is to destroy the Forever Gate. And
In a self-destruct kind of way.
The self-destruct button. And so they go through the Forever Gate. And now that it's destructed, Ben, he's enraged now, too.
Yeah, because, you know, he thinks because Alice and the kids and Ben, Franklin and them were there, you know.
They sacrificed themselves, and there's no way to get them back because who knows where they are. And he starts wailing on Reed.
And like almost like ripping him apart, almost like a
stretchy pulp, bloody pulp. Until Reed at the end here retells him that
he hit something on his wrist that put licked up a video like them talking from.
Yeah,
I don't remember where they were at though.
But he lied to Ben. And because he tells him, he says he thinks he hasn't been fighting as hard because he has a family now.
Yeah.
Which is like kind of counterintuitive to me.
Reed's all messed up with having the Watcher, you know, stuff in his head. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So like he's a, you know, yeah, he's not thinking true. Like that's how he normally does, yeah, you know. Because he's very, you know, he's very brass and, like, arrogant, yeah, you know, throughout okay. this series.
I'll take that into account. Yeah, that's true. There's the other part, too. Johnny is on the Kree and Skrull homeworld.
With the people from...
Wiccan and Hulkling.
Yeah.
Fighting the aliens there.
But he brings Sky and some of the other
Unparalleled.
Yeah, and then
the Starjammers
and the Guardians and
the Guardians of the Galaxy show up. Which was cool. That was a cool page. So that's it for that one.
Yeah.
That's all that happened.
It ends with like Dr. Doom at some lake. I don't know what planet he's on, but it looks like he's getting ready to do some magic stuff.
Yeah, I'm not sure what was going on there yet.
But if you know Doom's doing it, it's probably not legit. It's probably a little shady.
The other thing is they're on a planet. I don't know if it's a planet or just a part of space. Minor Obscura or something like that.
Yeah.
This is the reference. This is the Dan Slott reference from his 2005 She-Hulk.
Because they do like an editor like callback to it, don't they?
Yeah, because he said there was some tie to it. But Jennifer Walters was either a judge or a lawyer, it made this part of space invisible to the Watcher, so they can't see there.
But then they say something about, like, she murdered everybody on the planet or something?
This is where, like, the Reckoning set up base. So the Watchers wouldn't know what they were planning. So that was pretty cool. How about Guilt? Colin, did you read that one?
No, sorry.
That's okay. This is Guilt, G-I-L-T. This is a new one from Ahoy. It's starts in 1967, where this lady is meet the main character Hildy. This is like a book only Ahoy would publish, she's like a feminist from New York City. This is 1967. She's young. It's her wedding day, and she's in a cab with her friends, and she gets out, and this little girl walks by and says, "You look like you're so beautiful. You look like Jeannie from I Dream of Jeannie when she married her master on the ship." And then it flashes back forward 50 years, 2017, and the other main character, Trista, she's going to visit Hildy, who's now 50 years older. At her house, you know, she works for like a home health care agency. So So Hildy's acting really weird. She doesn't want Trista to go in the kitchen, and she says she's the member of a secret society. And then Trista finds like a Polaroid photo of herself when she was little from 1977. Now, how'd she get this? And then we find out GILT stands for the Guild of Independent Lady Temporalists. And she has a time travel portal in her apartment on the steps.
Duh.
Doesn't everybody?
And there's these, and she shows her, you know, they share like the, right out of the rules. You can't change the past without co-op board approval. You can't stay in the past set more than 7 days. And so they end up going back through a series of circumstances. They go back to 1967 on her wedding day. That little girl who said she looked like Jeannie is Trista. The girl who... So, not a lot of... Not sure what's going on, but I thought it was pretty good. I'll mention The Rocketeer, too. New series of The Rocketeer.
I read that just for you.
Rocketeer, The Great Race. We learned... Let's see if I can remember this. Cliff learns there's like a Nazis...
Ooh. Well, that was like a flashback dream where there were Nazis and he was fighting them, and then the rocket got shot, and then he wakes up in bed with Betty and realizes that Betty doesn't want some adventurer who's going to put her in danger. He's going to settle down and get a job, and realizes he can't find a job.
Can't find a job until a guy comes to his...
Offers him
the fly in this race around the world, or from the United States to France and London.
Paris, yes.
To London.
And can take her on a vacation.
Yeah, she wants to do it because Betty wants to further her modeling career in Paris. And the guy wants him to do it because the award is some kind of medal that he wants to melt down and he needs for some.
Right.
And Cliff, and you know, he has this cool new plane that he wants Cliff to fly.
It's a Bugatti or something.
Yeah, and then you learn the Nazis are after it.
Yeah, and they want the plane, so they're going to try to take him out. But at the end, Cliff agrees to do it.
Yeah.
Which he kind of had to. That was the name of the series. I saw that coming. There's a great text piece at the end. Did you read that?
That was great,
The history of Dave Stevens and what he did and creating the Rocketeer and stuff. That was really cool.
It was really good. It's going to continue.
I love that stuff.
Who put this out?
IDW.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I read that. Yeah, it was
good. Thank you. It was good.
You saying IEW? In the news preview book, I thought they was out of it because I could not find them at first. Yeah. They're like two pages.
They moved to Penguin Random House like Marvel. Yeah.
Well, yeah, they have like a couple pages like real far back in the back of the book. Okay. Like it took me forever. Like, I was like, where's my total book at? Like, I didn't hear anything. You know, there's always rumors like, hey, are they gonna shut down? I was like, did they finally fold? And I just didn't hear.
We just got notified a bunch of stuff that we've ordered that hasn't shipped yet is all getting canceled through Diamond. Yay! It was fun. Mm. Fun of retailing.
All IDW.
Yeah. So now we got to reorder it all, and imagine the people that don't pay attention to that, you know.
That's all I have.
That's it, Spencer.
Firepower?
Yeah, I read that.
So it opens up with the dragon. This open, like, double page spread of this dragon flying that just escaped. It was pretty cool. And then, Owen, right? It's been a while. So like Owen and his friends and his family are like hid under like there's like this like little rock like space underneath the snow that they're hiding out. You know, they're trying to have a conversation of like what should they do, you know, what, you know, how should, can they beat this dragon, how could they beat this dragon and stuff like that. And then so while that was going on, they split to the second story, which is like this old Japanese Chinese man walking through this city, and he's done out in a big big hat and like samurai kind of clothes, and he's walking through like a food market, and somebody's trying to steal something, and he he's able to throw his sword and hit the guy with like the hilt of it and gets it back, and returns the food, that kind of stuff. And just as he's getting ready to pay for something, the dragon comes flying through the city, destroying it. It's like shows is another like cool double play spread of him like trying to fight the dragon slash kind of save people. And then when we get back to Owen and his family and they finally decide to leave, all the bad guys are right there and catch them, and they have a fight, and then one of the serpents gets a hold of Owen, so he's under their mind control, and so he starts like attacking his wife and the kids. And while he has his wife, and it seems like he's gonna like get ready to give her like the death blow, because we know the daughter before also has the fire, she's able to use the firepower as well. But now, not only did the daughter, who had blue flame, but also the son was able to do his first fireball too, and it was able to not like either knock the snake off or kill it or whatever, bringing Owen back to normal. But while he was under control, he was able to get a glimpse of what their plan moving forward is, which I don't think he says. That sounds like a cliffhanger. Yeah. My question for you, Dave, is that old man in the city, Owen's dad?
Ooh, that's a good one.
That's what I was thinking, because we don't actually know Owen's dad, at the beginning of the story. So that's what I'm thinking. Maybe he...
I didn't think of that. That's a good one. Yeah, I didn't know. I have no idea who that was, but yeah, that's a good idea.
That's what my prediction is. Yeah.
So they decide. They decide. They got to do something about the dragon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Get after him. But me and Chris Sammy's killing it on art. It's so nice.
That's the one thing that makes the weight in between arcs more like a real killer, is because like his art and the way that Kirkman writes a lot, like I can be through with this book in like in minutes, what I mean, like, and not even meaning to, but you go through it and you're just like, I'm done with it now. I find myself sometimes having to like physically like slow down a little bit. Like
is he the co-creator of the book?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, anytime... Yeah, Kirkman's kind of like... anytime he does something with anybody else, he's normally, co-creates it with, the artist. Like, he's,
Yeah. Oh, that's definitely right. You have to, savor it.
Because
I don't know...
Because also too, I feel like this book isn't as wordy as other Kirkman books be.
Yeah.
There's not huge dialogue, bubbles and stuff.
Right,
he sticks a lot with like the kung fu action and stuff like that.
There's no long monologues.
Radiant Red, the second issue of Radiant Red.
I forgot to read that one.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. It's just basically moving the story forward a little bit. The person who in the first issue who was giving her like the ultimatum of like, hey, come meet my boss or your family. This issue is basically just her deciding to go and meet up with her and seeing what they want, and it's like that, oh, I want you to work for me. Well, I don't want that. Well, what are you doing with that money that you already have? And so it's kind of like they strike a deal to, like, you do this job for me, and I'll launder that money that you've stolen already, and we'll kind of, call it even. So I'm sure that it won't go that easy, but But like I said, it's pretty... Because I was kind of confused because I didn't realize when I read issue one, I only read like the first half of it and I must have stopped and, you know, forgot and never got back. So I reread the first issue and then read this issue. So I'm kind of having trouble remembering what happened in each one, so...
This does take place after, like, the Radiant Black stuff, right?
I think it might take place, like, after her first appearance, because, like, how she kind of shows up early on in the book.
Right.
I think it's after that, but I think it's before the current her, because I can't see how she could be running around with these guys if she's, like, under that... You know, under the thumb of, you know, this crime boss.
Yeah, I can't remember if she was a teacher or...
Yeah, I don't even know if they go... Do they go into that in the normal
book? I don't remember mentioning that.
I'm not sure. But like I said, pretty... Yeah, you know, and, odd is... it's kind of tricky. It's good for this book, but, like, it's one of those artists is, like, it's hard sometimes. Like, it has... Like, the story really has to have to fit it. But that's just the only thing. The only other thing that I read was, and right up against the recording too, was Moon Knight. But I'll let that go since Pat hasn't had a chance to read it yet.
Thank you. That's Colin.
It. Yeah, Colin.
Okay. So I want you to bring us home.
Okay.
Don't take forever.
So X-Men Red. Nobody. We know X-Men people. X-Men Red was good. It's basically about. Mars, the terraformed Mars that's now Arrakko, and they set up their own little council. And it has a vote whether to be peace or war, and it had interesting... It's interesting because it's all these new characters, so giving their rationale for voting certain ways. And then Roberto da Costa has a bar up there, and... There's a fight brewing, and it was interesting. Just it's, you know, an entire new planet learning to be. Magneto has retired there because in Immortal X-Men he quit the council and moved to Mars, and so they're now, because there's the council, they're having to set up kind of their own X-Men for there. And they've decided to call it the Brotherhood. So it was interesting. I forget who wrote it, but it was good.
That book makes you think, like, so if you're mutants and then you move to another planet, are you mutants still, or are you just whatever?
Well, right now, like, it's just mutants because that's all there is.
Resident of Mars.
Yeah, do you consider yourself? Do you still consider yourself a mutant when you're the main thing? When you're the main thing there on the planet?
He's awake. Then we have West of Sundown, which was a new one from Vault, which had a little trouble not knowing their covers. They got their covers mixed up, which...
I was not a fan of the art.
Yeah, it was okay. It wasn't anything fancy. But just kind of a vampire story of... there's a vampire lady, and it's the story of her assistant, who's an Irishman, and this is set...
And he was in... Civil War.
Right.
And that's where she encounters him, I think.
Yeah. And this all takes place kind of back then. But then she is out at something and there's a fire and her apartment is burned.
That's her dirt.
And her ancestral dirt is destroyed. And so she has to move to get back to her dirt, which apparently is out in California, which I was not expecting. And then so they go there and describes the process of getting out there and everything. And then it turns out that the person that burned down the apartment and that is hunting her is Frankenstein.
Frankenstein-ish, because he's like all...
Right.
Yeah.
So, I thought it was fine. It was interesting. I'll give it the next one a look. This one I won't. Spider-Punk 1. It's fine. It's just, it's an alternate dimension Spider-Man where he's a punk rocker and Riri's there and there's a version of Captain America and they're fighting Kraven the Hunters, who are all these... punk kids. And
is this to promote the new Spider-Verse movie?
I don't know, but it was
but that
fine.
Doesn't come out for a while though, right?
It got delayed. Would you put it on the Aquaman Green Arrow
above
Green
Aquaman
Arrow,
Green Arrow
Enjoy Operations.
Above
did you throw
both
monkey
of those
But I will not be continuing with this one. We have Strange number 2, which I will. This is good. It's Clea working to maintain that and fighting this new character who's preventing her from bringing back... don't kick the dog. Bringing back Steven, and someone has attacked the market that she was protecting. And she's like, these people don't realize there's all these different warlords that came back during the death of Doctor Strange, and that she's from warlord blood, and now they've messed with the wrong person. Excellent number 2. This is a pure joy. This is
It's excellent.
It is excellent.
I love this book. Yes. And I think you and I have talked about it. I read it. I really don't know what's going on.
No.
But you just go, that was awesome.
Yep.
That first couple pages when you have like no idea.
They're fighting.
What's going
on
because
they're fighting
until the end.
Yeah.
Until the end.
Well, the one girl gets like half her face burned off.
Right. But then she doesn't because she had a protective suit from Dupe. But then how did it look all melted? Why did it look all melted? Who knows? But yeah, you have it's the backstory of the forming and the Mirror Girl and explaining who all his team is, and he's just a sicko.
Yeah.
Don't forget the best part.
What's his name? Not the Velociter.
The Vomitor? No.
Yeah, I forget. I don't remember what his name is.
They have a reverse dupe.
Pooh. Yes. Yeah, Pooh.
What? Oh, you're awesome. Like, what is this?
Yeah, and they have all these cameras, and then they were looking in on, not Evie, but whatever her name is, getting naked. Go Girl or Gone Girl or whatever they called her. Yeah, it's just, this
did anybody
is
die
so
in
good.
This one? I don't think so.
Yeah, no, one of the bad team did.
Oh, did it?
Bomb Boy or whatever his name was.
Yeah.
You Blow Up Boy. It's this is awesome. This is just too good. And the fact that they pre-saw the internet... In the old Ecstatics, and now you lost so many likes from this. Oh my god, this is
unbelievable.
Just fun.
It's not. It's just fun.
That first run of X-Force Ecstatic was just goofy fun. You had no
and
idea
they continue
what was
on
going
this.
On. Yeah, it's perfect.
I just want to know what he's smoking to write some of this stuff.
It's so good. I enjoyed that.
You couldn't handle it.
Peter Milligan's really hit or miss for me. Sometimes.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Man, when he hits,
with this, he's dead on. Oh, yeah. And Allred's artwork is just always fantastic.
Yeah. And then the last one I wrote was Batman Killing Time, number 2. This is the Tom King book about the heist. It's really weird only because it's going back and forth in time.
With EMP?
That was the one that last week we talked about, I think.
Okay, but no, it's been very good. But it like there's the heist and explaining now the backstory of how they set up the heist and got everybody together. There's this There's this old story taking place in the year 3000 about a king that was torn apart by his aunts and his mom. I don't know how that fits in. But overall, it was good. This is one you really can't review issue by issue because it's all pieces of a bigger puzzle. So this piece I thought was quite good. So, but that's what I read. I read like 13. So
it's pretty good.
I thought I did a good job.
You did.
Thank you.
But what's coming out next week?
Okay, we have stuff. It's a little bit of a light week, which actually works because Tim's off next week, so I'm going to be here all by myself on Wednesday.
Week?
Yes. Wow.
Can you be trusted here?
I don't know. I don't know if I can be. I might need to recruit some help. I might find
comics are just going to be everywhere. You go in the photo, you get your own.
Whatever you want, you take. So next week, Marvel is quite light. A lot of stuff is slipping till next week. But we have Avengers 55, Captain America 0, starting that off. Doctor Strange Nexus of Nightmares, which is, I think, just leading into the movie. You know, they're just trying to capitalize on that. Mm. Hulk number 6, where something important is supposed to happen, and Wolverine 20, the first issue post X Lives, X Deaths of Wolverine, which absolutely nothing happened.
But now you spoiled it for me.
Oh,
so when I go to
well, not in 20. No,
and
not
then,
in
you
this
realize
issue.
Nothing
no.
happened.
And they do the editor box start, and nothing happened.
Yeah,
we didn't miss a thing.
You didn't need to read those 10 issues. From DC, we got Batman Superman World's Finest 2, Batman The Knight number 4, that's the Chip Zdarsky one, Catwoman Lonely City number 3 from Cliff Chang, Nice House on the Lake number 8, And Trial of the Amazons Wonder Girl 2. I don't think that's the end of the Trial of the Amazons, though. That's the end of that. And then from everybody else, we have Animal Castle 5, which I realized I didn't read 4 yet, but I did read Animal Farm. So I think that counts.
The George Orwell?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I read that. We have Black Hammer Reborn 11, which is the penultimate issue of the series.
Do we know what's going on yet?
My I don't think so. Least favorite book title, Black Caravan, Premier David Burns Canceled, number one. I'm like... Well, it's David Byrne. Well, not that David Byrne, a different David Byrne. And you're calling a book canceled. That's not a good name for a book. Because that...
Well, it's not, the talking heads,
yeah.
David Byrne?
Yeah, right. It's not him. We have Brave New World graphic novel. These novelization books sound great. I can't even tell you how many copies of To Kill a Mockingbird
they're awesome.
I sold.
Yeah.
I can't keep Slaughterhouse 5 in stock. It's just, yeah, good stuff. Collector Unit 731. This is a new one from Dark Horse. Corollary. I don't remember who does this. Dark Beach, I think, is Behemoth. Good Asian, number 10, the last issue of that. I think that one got optioned for TV. So, and then Dynamite gives us Hell Sonya, Jennifer Blood, and John Carter of Mars, and all the matey covers.
I don't see like, how many covers is that?
QQW. We also have Ice Cream Man for Dave, Killadelphia for Pat,
nice
Knighted for everybody, because that's an AWA book, last issue of that. Primos, number 3, is also an AWA book, and I love this, it's called Vampire Slayer, parentheses, Buffy, only because Buffy is retired and is no longer the Vampire Slayer, so they have a new Vampire Slayer, but... So it's just called Vampire
is
Slayer.
Is it Bob or somebody? Or?
No, I don't. I'm not sure. They didn't tell us. We have to read it and find out. Pat. Oh, Mike.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Okay. So that's what's going on. Free Comic Book Day is less than a month away. We're getting the books in. I got to start stickering them. Oh, Tim takes off right as we got to sticker the books. I see. This is a plot.
Maybe we could sticker during the podcast.
Oh, we could.
Ooh.
Get everybody involved.
You can't stamp them, though, during the podcast.
No, I'm not going to stamp. We're going to sticker. So that's coming up. We're doing X-Men month this month, which is kind of funny, though, because I'm like, oh, we have all these new X-Men books coming. Yeah, there's no X-Men books next week, other than Wolverine, but that's not new. And let's see, yeah, and book club's the end of the month, Black Science. I got more of those in if you need a copy. So I think that's about all we got. I am having a professional company redoing the website. So, and
who's
they are
the professional company?
It's called Hibu, H-I-B-U. They're mostly like a social media marketing company type thing, but they're redoing the website and going to optimize it for social, for, search engine optimization and get that all fresh and pretty, and then help me with social media marketing and stuff.
Are they redesigning it and all
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they have like a bunch of templates, and yep. I picked one. So
cool.
So that's going to be freshened up. Hopefully it all works the way I want it to. But part of my problem is I don't know what I want. So it's hard to go to somebody, oh, I want it to look like this, because I don't know what I want it to look like. I just want... A lot
different.
Of the same things.
Emulate what you like.
Yeah.
Emulate what works.
Right. Because the only thing I do is I post the podcast. I post the what's coming next week. I'll post a sale. So if I can still have access to that stuff, we're good. So we're doing that. So you might see some stuff. You might see some more Facebook ads and stuff. I know one of the things that I failed on that they're going to work on is getting. Reviews, like Google reviews and things like that, because they said that stuff is very important to the search optimization. That you have more reviews, you'll pop up higher on the list and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So you might see some stuff like throwing a thing to give a review in your bag and stuff. So don't be surprised about that. But yeah, trying to do better. As I look at the site and go, ooh, I don't like that. Ooh, yeah. So as they're going through it with me, it's like, okay, yeah, you can lose that. Yeah, make that better. Yeah. Because my bio says, when I opened the store 8 years ago, as we're now in year 16, little things.
Oh, that's kind of like when you think, oh, the 90s was only 20 years ago, and you go, oh,
yeah.
Wait, no.
Yeah. So, yeah. So that's fun. But the website is PittsburghComics.com. Facebook is Pittsburgh Comics. Twitter and Instagram are PGH Comics. So that's what we got for you this week. Pat, send us home.
Bats Podcast.
We'll talk at you next week. See ya.